response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
I mean, it's really remarkable the opportunity that's still in front of them, Ray. They are, I think something like, what did I see today? I made the note. I can't just find it. Oh, here it is. My eyes caught it. They're 4.5 games back of the 2 seed, for goodness sakes.
Oh.
I mean, all these games right now, it's, you know, it's not about to be winning time. It's not going to be winning time when Steph gets back. It's not going to be winning time a little bit later on. Winning time is here. It's now. I can see the end of your season approaching quickly. I can see the end of everyone's season approaching quickly. One stretch of basketball where you win 10 of 12 games. If the rest of the league isn't doing that, you're a 3 or a 2 seed in the West, for goodness sakes.
The problem is, I think over what we've seen so far, is the Warriors are like all those other teams in that mess, is that winning 10 out of 12 is a hard ask in this league.
It is. You got to catch a heater.
I'm just talking about this year.
Yeah.
Nobody's catching a heater except Milwaukee right now, Boston earlier, Denver. Everybody else, you know, they can't get enough momentum to get that heater on. So I think it might be more of a case of slow and steady wins the race. Because the remaining schedule is not overburdened with difficult teams. Now, maybe that's because most of the games are going to be against Western Conference teams who have about the same record they do. But, you know, they've spent the majority of the year in that 7-10 area. And, you know, if they get to 44 wins, which I don't think is an unreasonable ask, they could easily be a 4. I mean, that's how goofy this year is. You know, 44 will usually get you an 8 or a 9. You'd be right on the cusp of missing the playoffs in the old format. This year, you know, who's going to run away other than Denver? I mean, Memphis has done that in the past, but they're a goofy team. And Sacramento is starting to stutter a bit after their long heater. You know, New Orleans, maybe, when Zion comes back. Dallas, if Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic find nirvana. But after that, everybody's roughly the same.
This is the earliest, maybe, in NBA history where you could actually do some out-of-town scoreboard watching.
Oh, I think...
I mean, have you ever been out-of-town scoreboard watching before Valentine's Day in your entire basketball watching life? I haven't. Here we are. I mean, it's kind of where we are.
Well, we're almost at Valentine's Day, but the scoreboard watching involves way more teams than it used to.
Yeah.
I mean, there are only 3 teams that, frankly, have never really sniffed a play-in spot, and that's San Antonio, Houston, and the Lakers. So, and the Lakers have sort of amused themselves with LeBron's chase, but for the most part, they've been bad throughout. I mean, I think... In fact, I looked it up yesterday. They've had 2 days all year in which they weren't 11th or worse.
But what great days those truly were.
Name them. Yeah. No, I mean, there are 3 teams that are objectionably terrible. There are 2 teams that are objectively good. And everybody else is in this hilarious morass from 3 to 12. And a team that could be... you know, 5th one day is 11th after 2 losses. I mean, that's how it's been all year. And that's why I wouldn't look too aggressively about waiting for the Warriors to win 10 of 12, because I don't know if they, or really anybody else in the conference, has that in them.
They might not have it in them, but they got enough shooting to maybe, if the defense just lines up and the opponent is weak enough and not having... I mean, like, they can no longer just go out and do it their way, roll out the ball rack, we got this. They need a little something to happen from their opponent's underperformance, from the league not responding all the way around them as well. They're not in control of their own destiny. yet they're still wildly in control of their own destiny in a really weird way, because they, if, how about this? Hey, Steve Kerr, you really think that your team can still be NBA champions? Then 10 out of 12 at some point in the regular season shouldn't be an unfathomable accomplishment. We'll see if they can do it. We'll see if they can do it. Winning time, it's here. And it continues tomorrow. Portland is no great shakes, boys and girls. They're only 14 and 12 at home. Rose Garden used to be a really, really hard place to play. It's not an easy place to play, but at 14 and 12, it's not an overwhelming home court advantage in any way, shape, or form. And Portland is two games under 500. They're 26 and 28, which means they're not that much different than the Golden State Warriors. That is a winnable game, just like last night was a winnable game. And when your Warriors, when you're looking at a game that you deem before it even tips off is winnable, you better damn well win it. I mean, that's where it is right now. That's where it is right now for this team. 888-957-9570. This is Marcus calling from New Orleans. What's going on, Marcus? You're on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, guys? Yeah, there's been some ongoing conversation about Steve Kerr's ability to develop young players. I've been hearing folks talk about it a lot lately just because of the Wiseman thing, and it cracks me up because, you know, he's the guy who actually set Steph Curry free. He's the guy who made Draymond Green what he is. He's the guy who brought us Kevon Looney and Jordan Poole. We can develop young guys, and I can't for the life of me think of any young player of consequence that's gotten away from the Warriors who went on to do anything else after they left the team. But maybe I'm crazy.
You know, that's an interesting way to look at it, Marcus. Thanks for the call. Who is the one young player that came here, didn't develop, showed up in another uniform, and was just gangbusters somewhere else? D'Angelo Russell's been pretty good.
He's been okay.
He's an all right player. He's a good player. Yeah. I mean, was he a very good Warrior? No, he was not. But in another system, pick and roll, just playing with the Timberwolves, he's been okay. Kelly Oubre doesn't feel like the one who got away. Eric Paschal isn't even in the NBA anymore.
Drafting where they have drafted for the last 8 to 9 years, you don't get to fall into many extraordinary talents. I mean, Jordan Poole is the profound exception that proves the rule. And before that, it was Draymond Green. But for the most part, getting young guys for them is drafting late or finding guys basically out of the G League. And neither of those are high percentage ways to get important talent. So that's a little bit sort of, you know, predictable. What they haven't done, though, is take a guy who didn't perform here and get him to suddenly become sensational. Because that's the other part of this. It's that if you take a guy 30th, just to pick a number at random, it's going to perform like the 30th pick in the draft, which means he'll be in Europe in 3 years. That's how it works. So they've been riding this wave that they've had based on sensational upper half of the draft picks from 10 years ago. Wiggins was a one, but not their one, but he's turned out to be invaluable for them. The only real exception to the rule there has been Green, but Curry was a seven. Thompson was an 11. For the most part, they've picked predictably, which is if you're a relatively high draft choice, you got a shot to last a decade. If you're not, you don't. And so they haven't missed on many of those upper half of the draft guys. Wiseman is still, I mean, the jury is still out on him.
Right. We don't know.
They may just declare a mistrial.
We think we know, but we still don't quite know. And look, he didn't get an awful lot of time on the court last night, but what time he did get, he comported himself pretty well. All you got to do, James Wiseman, is rebound and play at the rim. That's it. Finish at the rim, defend the rim, and rebound. That's it. That's all you need to do. And he doesn't get many opportunities to go do it. Last night, I think he got in like, 4, 5, 6 minutes, and he played well. He didn't see the floor very much, but he acquitted himself well. More minutes. That's the only thing that will reveal whether or not he's an NBA player or even a Golden State Warrior or not.
And truthfully, he's got to earn those minutes because the Warriors are in a fight to make the playoffs, and they can't give away minutes just to see. Let's see how he's going to do tonight.
No, but you earn those minutes playing defense. And let me tell you, the guys really earn the minutes when we're talking about all the players, or, you know, maybe it's just a perception of all the players that haven't developed. You know who has? Jordan Poole, who might have played his best game last night. Draymond Green.
I thought that's the best game I've ever seen him play. Played a great. He ended with four turnovers. Three of them was this. Him understanding what was going on in the game and trying to get Klay shot at the end of the game. So realistically have one turnover and what, 13 assists or something like that. I thought he played an incredible game on both sides of the ball. He was good defensively. Their whole offense is running guards in the guard screens and waiting on a slip up and then driving that gap. And he was incredible on that side of the ball. And he was incredible, obviously, offensively. He let the game come to him. He got everybody involved, and then he looked for a shot, and everything was beautiful. I thought that was an incredible game, one of the best games, if not the best game I've ever seen him play.
There you go. I mean, that's some rousing compliments from Draymond Green for Jordan Poole, who did have a career-high 12 assists last night. And as Draymond said, yeah, he finished with four turnovers. Three of them were in the telegraphed force feeding of Klay Thompson as the team decided, all right, he's got about 90 seconds left on this court tonight before Steve just hangs him up on the rack to dry. So let's see if he can't drop a couple more threes here and get to 14 and tie his own record. You know, that's what they were trying to do. They were force feeding Klay at that point when Jordan did kind of get sloppy with the ball. And, you know, not only has Jordan Poole revealed himself a very important player, frustrating at times for sure, but an important player for the Warriors who's developed at a rate that you could have never expected. Kevon Looney certainly developed into a trusted agent. It's hard to think of Kevon Looney as a young player. He still is that. And Jonathan Kuminga. Like, welcome to your role in the NBA, dude. You defined it. You've carved it out for yourself right now. You are this team's second primary defender. If we're going to just, if Draymond is the overall defender, your primary on-ball defenders, with Draymond playing, you know, a Steve Atwater-like free safety, is, or excuse me, I guess I should go Talanoa Hufanga-like free safety.
No, you want Steve Atwater.
I do want Steve Atwater. He's such a badass. He was great.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
So. Yeah. But look, you got two on-ball defenders that matter on this team. Klay's not even one of them anymore. Maybe he will be, can be, could be again. And if he is, that's where this defense starts to ratchet up. But right now, your two best on-ball defenders are Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga, and it's not even close. Kuminga's a really good defensive player when he's focused on doing that. Last night, 7 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds. Must add more rebounds. You're way too athletic to not be pulling down 4 boards in 20 minutes. But outside of that, he's coming along. And he's getting a longer leash because he plays defense.
Yeah. I mean, that's been the lesson all along, is if you do the things you're asked, you'll get more chances to do those things. If you want to try to change how the team plays because your talents demand it, you won't get as much time. I mean, the Warriors are not a system team, but they clearly have a system. You know, you can operate outside the system as long as you perform within it. Stephen Curry gets minutes because he's a unicorn, but everybody else has to be able to defend to a certain extent. And Kevon Looney is the living example of that. Based on his talent, he should be a DNP CD night in and night out. But he gives them what they need when they need it. And he never, ever forgets what the right play is. That's why he's getting 22 minutes a night. That's why, for the most part, he's been in the starting lineup. Because those are the guys who aren't part of the core three who get rewarded. And, you know, he's been there in front of these young guys now for more than a year. And he's like the walking, talking example of what Steve Kerr wants them to be. And sometimes you get that, sometimes you don't. It's when you try to fight the system fights you back.
If I could take Kevon Looney's brain and put it in James Wiseman's body, you have an all-star.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly could. I mean, part of, you know, I think the conundrum with Weissman is not that he doesn't want to do it. It's that the things he can do, I think, allow him in his mind to be at least slightly undisciplined, because I can close this gap fast, or I can get to the rim to get a rebound quicker. And in this league, everybody's quick. If you just rely on your athleticism, you will end up in the G League, because there's a lot of great athletes in the G League, only they don't have the well-rounded game that's required to stay in the bigs. And that's part of the Weissman thing, is that he knows he's got gifts, but he almost relies on them more than he should. They just get the basics in, then you can start jumping into the rafters.
Well, and let's face it, what he is best at are categories the Warriors need the least from him. You know, I mean, he doesn't need to be taking an outside shot. He doesn't need to be handling the ball in the open court. His strengths don't allow him to stand out as much as his weaknesses prevent him from getting court time. And until he can flip that around, it's a little bit of a gray area for James Weissman. I do want to point out that Kevon Looney came off the bench last night and had a game-high 11 rebounds off the bench. And there was one particular play that you probably saw it and went, wow. And then since it was so early in the game, you don't really remember it. You haven't thought about it since you said, wow. How about that pool to Kevon Looney pass last night that was like a career highlight for both players? It was just a whip-smart pass. It was like a one-timer off of a rebound. Great hands by Looney. Great hands by Poole to get it to him. Just an all-one fluid motion. It was gorgeous. It looked like a one-timer, basically. Tic-tac-toe hockey is what that kind of looked like.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.